In an attempt to attract more millennials, America's largest movie theater chain considered allowing texting during movies. However, that didn't sit well with loyal customers, and the CEO quickly backtracked on that idea, but is still looking for ways to put more theater goers in theater seats. And we'll talk about that this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, but our guest is Jonathan Pollock, a history instructor at Madison Area Technical College and a pop culture expert. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
So what was your reaction when AMC's CEO tossed out this idea of allowing texting as an option in some movie theaters?
Yeah, I was pretty negative on it. It just seemed to me like that's one of the reasons that I like going to the movies. It's you escape from the everyday stuff, and you're just totally wrapped up in the experience of being in a dark room and watching a movie, and that to have people texting around you, and especially just to have the screen on. I mean, the content of it doesn't matter, but just to have these like little tiny lights sort of all around you in the theater would just be incredibly distracting. It sounded to me like, I mean, I wasn't outraged enough to like call and so forth, but I thought, why would you do that? So I didn't really see the wisdom in that choice.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, and especially when you look at the reminders before the movie to turn off your cell phone, and you know it's rude to talk on your cell phone and turn it off. Why do you suppose is that something young people really want to do in the movie theater?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the closest thing I have to knowing that is thinking about like cell phone usage in the classes I teach. And I think we're at a point where there's kind of an interest. It's like the social norms are kind of being worked out. Because I've got students, you know, I'll say the first day, you know, please don't take your phone out. You know, even though I'm up here at the front of the room and you're sitting there watching me, my classes aren't very big. I mean, they top out at about 40 students. So I say, you know, I can make eye contact with all of you. I can see what you're doing. And it really bothers. I mean, I'm one of those people who's kind of bothered when I'm talking to somebody and they start texting. And so I felt like, you know, sometimes I feel like, well, that's just because I, you know, have, you know, deep memory of a time before texting. But then I realized, no, my, you know, one of my sons is the same way, is very upset if he's trying to, you know, plan something or talk to us. And my wife and I are on our phones. And I have students who feel the same way, where they're, you know, they'll, if there's somebody who, despite what I say, you know, takes out their phone and is kind of looking at it, like they'll stop sitting there. So I think it's something that kind of cuts across generations. I mean, I think we associate that kind of cell phone usage with people in the so-called millennial generation, because for them, the technology's always been around. It's just part of what they expect to use when they're making plans, when they're checking in at work, whatever. But I don't think that it's a universally accepted kind of thing. I think there are a lot of people of all ages who are kind of, you know, who would have the same kind of take on this that you and I did.
Well, according to the news reports, movie theaters are experiencing a decline in attendance, and the whole point of this was throwing out ideas that would attract mainly younger audiences to the movie theaters. Talk some about movie theater attendance. Why do you suppose it's declining?
Well, I mean, I think this is something that happens periodically, that when television began, that really took a bite out of theaters, that people stayed home and watched TV rather than going out to the movies. And the movies responded with like 70mm projection and wide CinemaScope. More black and white films really declined, and color really took off during that time, that the more expensive color technology was sort of compensated for, because people went out to see color movies at a point when you can only broadcast TV in black and white. So television was a challenge for a while, and then films came up with these innovations to change that. Cable, I think, was another one that in the 1980s, that cable television, then, you know, HBO and Showtime and Cinemax and so on, then you could watch a full movie without commercials at home. So that was competition for the movies. So this is something that's kind of ongoing. It's a continual back and forth between the movies and other forms of media that people consume. Now, is it worse than ever? I mean, I would think about, well, you know, maybe movie theaters have like overexpanded. Maybe there's not as much demand for them. That maybe there's like kind of an oversaturation, that you go to like a big, you know, 12 or 18 screen movie theater, and the same film is on like six screens.
Yep.
it's like, well, maybe the 18-screen movie theater is kind of a relic, and they need to find some other use for those extra screens, or promote a wider assortment of films. You know, one of the things that, I mean, it seems like film festivals are going great guns. It seems like every town's got one, and many colleges have them, and so forth. And then also, it's easier than ever to make films, that you whip out your phone and you can shoot a, you know, fairly competent, low budget movie. So that maybe that's one of the strategies, is to, you know, create almost like a, you know, run a movie theater more like a bar or something like that, or a bar that has live music, well, where you've got things some days and then, you know, small time things others.
Some movie theaters are turning into bars.
A great innovation.
You like that
idea.
One?
Yeah.
Truly, is that was a way to attract some people. I mean, maybe not all of them, but many of them now I'm seeing have bars and the reclining seats, and you can bring food into the theater.
Yeah. I mean, the reclining seats is one. So I asked some friends of mine about this, because thanks for giving me some advance notice on this appearance. And the reclining seats were the thing that were really kind of polarizing, that there were, and I can kind of see both sides on this one, that on the one hand, they're super comfortable. A friend of mine said that when she was in, she lives kind of out in the country, and she was visiting us recently, and so she hadn't experienced the reclining seat before. And she said she wished she would have known in advance, because she would have brought a blankie and spent the day at the movies. And she just would have hung out. Other people, and myself included, you know, I tend to fall asleep at the movies sometimes. I missed a big chunk of the movie Lincoln because I was just sacked out. And I was thinking, well, if I were watching that movie in a reclining seat, then I would have, you know, been more comfortable. I wouldn't have that, like, crick in your neck feeling from sleeping sitting up. But then I would have missed, like, half the movie. You know, I just would have gone down for the count. So, I mean, they're comfortable. One friend of mine compared that to WALL-E, that he felt like when he goes to a movie and there's the reclining seats there, he feels like one of the characters in WALL-E who doesn't move and is just endlessly entertained by watching stuff. But he admitted, yeah, it's super comfortable. So
yeah, but and that's true. They are comfortable, and I'm thinking, you know, if you want to be in a recliner and chomping on your nachos, why wouldn't you just sit in your living room and do that?
Well, I mean, I think it comes back to some of the technological innovation, that even the best home theater systems aren't going to have that really kind of surrounding and immersing experience that you get at a movie theater. Also, if there's a particular film you've been anxiously anticipating, then you don't want to wait X number of months before it comes out on Netflix or shows up on cable or shows up on pay-per-view. That way you can see the movie that there's all this buzz about in your office, or that has an actor who you've really, you know, you're really crazy about, and see everything that actor's in. So that way you kind of have both experiences of the latest and greatest, as well as the comfort of watching a film in your own family room.
Maybe we should step back for a minute, and I don't know if you've researched this, but the purpose of the movie theater, why it was created, and why people want to go to a movie theater with a bunch of other people.
Yeah, well, all right, so it was created, I think, as a way to show films to large numbers of people at once. That if we're talking about film, when film really began in the 1890s, it was, you know, you had to go to a Nickelodeon. You had to watch a film on a little machine, you know, about the size of maybe like a pinball machine or a video game machine, put a nickel in there, and watch a short film go. Movie theaters go back to like the first decade of the 20th century, and from an exhibitor's perspective, that was a way to charge a whole bunch of people money at one time and then just keep showing the films. And it became, I mean, movie theaters became really a global happening. They became something that people expected to do. That early on, people who didn't have other things to do, who were between employment or didn't have to work, would spend like an entire day at the movies watching pictures over and over again. Over time, studios developed a whole menu of short subjects and A features and B features. So that on weekends especially, you know, people who work during the week on a Saturday or Sunday could go to the movies and spend a big chunk of their afternoon or evening watching all these different features. And it became a way to have a social experience. I mean, I think of it as kind of like a social experience for people who don't necessarily want to do the hard work of socializing, that you're in a room with a bunch of people, and so you're all experiencing something in common, but you're not actually interacting with them. And because of the social norms, like we talked about, you kind of can't. You know, in a lot of theaters, well, this varies from theater to theater, and it depends on the audience you have, in a lot of theaters, you're actively discouraged against, like, talking back to the movie or talking to the person, even the person you came with, and, like, smacking them on the arm and saying, oh, did you see that up there? I can't believe, you know, that you're supposed to be quiet and so forth, and that was long before cell phones were invented. So I think that's how they came to be. It was a place to be social, to spend time with, you know, one person or a group of people, or to go alone and experience something altogether without really having to make eye contact with anyone.
We are talking about going to the movies and what it will take to attract more people to movie theaters. Attendance is down, especially among young people, and theater owners are mulling ways to attract especially more millennials to movie theaters. So what attracts you to movie theaters as opposed to just sitting at home and watching something on Netflix? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will continue our discussion about the movie-going experience, and we want to know what you like about going to the movie theater and what you don't like about going to the movie theater. What would make you go more? What makes you go less? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talking with Jonathan Pollack, who is a history instructor at Madison Area Technical College and also a pop culture expert, one of our regulars when we want to talk about a pop culture topic. Our conversation is prompted by the recent suggestion from the CEO of America's largest movie theater chain, AMC, last month, suggesting that perhaps in order to attract more millennials, more young people to movie theaters, that texting could be allowed in some movies. Not all movies, but some movies. Well, right away, a lot of negative feedback on that idea. AMC backtracked and said, nope, we're not going to allow texting. Don't worry. But what do you want? So what do you want? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Or what's keeping you from going to the movies more often? Carrie in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Sure. I just had a comment and maybe want to get your thoughts on it, but I'm about 30 years old, so I'm not a millennial, but I certainly enjoy the theaters and I love the whole experience of it. But part of what keeps us from going to the theaters is the cost. Just within my life that I can remember going to movies, it's gone from anywhere from $5 for an evening show, and now it's anywhere from $10 to $15, depending on if you do the 3D screen or some of these other features. And so to go to the movies, my husband and I, for an evening, it's upwards of $20 to $25 just to get in and maybe get some food. I was going to comment that our local theater does like a $5 Tuesday, where all the movies are $5 in any theater. It comes with a popcorn. And we go to those movies because of the cost. And it's packed. There are people of all ages in the theater on a Tuesday night, which is surprising. So I guess I just wanted to get your thoughts on if you think that's something that's keeping other people from going to the movies as well.
I think Carrie is on to something. Jonathan Pollack, our guest, history instructor at Madison Area Technical College. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think she is also that's a huge factor. That talking before about other kinds of movie on video and stuff like that, it's much less. It's not so costly, and if it's something if you're subscribing to cable or subscribing to Netflix, it's kind of like an automatic bill that comes every month, and you kind of forget about it. Where the movies, as the caller was talking about, if you're going on a Saturday night, you're really shelling out. I think that's a big difference, that the cost of the movies has kind of gone up faster than how people perceive the rest of their budget going up, that they feel like they're not, other periods of like inflation and movie ticket prices maybe you didn't notice quite as much because people felt like, oh, well, yeah, we're making more money than we were a few years ago, so chipping an extra couple of bucks to go to the movies is not a big deal. But, in the last 5, 10 or more years, people feel pretty squeezed. And so at the night of the movies seems like a luxury they can't afford.
Yeah, Jerry on Facebook said, we have a big screen with surround sound at home, and the popcorn and snacks don't set us back $30. Netflix is plugged in. So,
yeah, right. And that's, I mean, that kind of comes back to our conversation earlier. I mean, on that end, then it's like, you know, that decision kind of comes down to what kind of investment do you want to make on the front end? And, you know, do you have a house that can accommodate that kind of thing? And if you do, and you're willing to make that, yeah, then that's available all the time, and you can watch whatever and have whatever food in front of it you want without having to shell out, as the first as the caller said.
And as Carrie mentioned, I want to go to that theater, that $5 and popcorn's included on Tuesdays in Green Bay.
Yeah, I know there's some theaters. My kids have discovered there's a few theaters in Madison that have, I think it's like a student night promotion on Tuesdays or Thursdays. It's one of those two nights, and so especially like on school breaks, that's like boom, they'll be at the movies. And when I was growing up, back in the 80s, I remember one of the theaters in Michigan where I grew up had the same kind of thing. That I saw a lot of shows on Tuesday night because the price was maybe $2 or something. I mean, it was like, it sounds ridiculously cheap now. But yeah, but it was rock bottom because that was a night of the week when people typically didn't go out. There was a slow night for them, and it was a way to pack the house. And like the caller mentioned, oh, they totally did. I mean, that got, you know, cutting the price of a ticket got people to come out of the woodwork on a weeknight to go see a show.
I'm going to sound like my grandmother now, but I remember going to the movies at the Viking Theater in Appleton, Wisconsin, going to a matinee for a quarter.
Wow.
Do you believe it? I mean, that was, you know, 50 some years ago. But, you know, that now it is. It's, but now I am willing to pay. One of the enhancements I like is, even though it irritated me at first, is the convenience fee, I think, that some movie theaters will charge, like the Sundance Theater.
Oh, yeah, to, like, book a ticket in advance.
To book it in advance and to choose your seat in advance. I'll do it.
Yeah, no, that is right, especially if it's something that you're really eager to see, and, you know, there's going to... I mean, that certainly beats if a big blockbuster movie comes out, standing in line and hoping you get a ticket, and especially if you're with... more than one person, you know, you've got a group of like, you know, 4 or 6 people, and it's like, well, we're going to be able to sit together and so forth, and that takes it right out. Yeah, that's kind of a neat innovation.
Yeah. Well, so do you think millennials especially are, if that's who the theaters want to attract, are not going to the theaters mostly because of the price, or is it?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. I mean, I'm the millennials I know best are my own kids. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's, you know, movies are expensive. And, you know, if they're trying to figure out what to do with their money, you know, shelling out $15 a ticket for a show and popcorn or a beverage or whatever on top of that, that's a pretty hefty night, you know, that if you, for that kind of money, I mean, there you get to the level of, well, you could go out for dinner and actually talk to the person that you're with. instead of sitting in a dark room for a couple hours.
Yeah, interesting, because I guess what are millennials doing for entertainment these days then, instead of going to the movies?
Well, all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, the ability to watch video on a phone, the ability to watch video on a laptop. I mean, you know, there are times where my kids have friends over and they're just kind of hanging out, you know, watching videos that way. That also, I mean, the other thing about a movie is it's a commitment of time. And if you're, you know, one of the things I notice about my kids, and maybe it's something that younger people over the generations are better able to do than older people, is they can shift back and forth from one thing to another, that they can watch a video for a little bit and they can go outside, or they can go over to someone else's house and do something. They can put in a video game and play it. That a movie requires you to be like in one place and focused on this film for, you know, 2.5 hours or longer, depending on what the film is. So I think that that YouTube is maybe the big innovator now, as television was in the 1950s. That's the big competition of movies, and that's kind of a tough one, because if people are willing to put up with the, you know, the screen size and the sound quality on, you know, watching it on a phone or a laptop, or if they have a device that lets them watch YouTube through their, you know, through their TV set, then that's, you know, completely free versus, you know, going to a theater and paying what we're talking about.
We're going to talk a little bit more about what moviegoers are complaining about at the movies these days, what's keeping them from going to the movies. We heard about the price, but anything else? Our 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show.
Sitting in the darkness, what a world to see.
We are talking about going to the movies and what makes us go to the movies, what keeps us from going to the movies. Our conversation was prompted by the CEO of AMC, the largest movie theater chain in America, last month, suggesting that perhaps as a way to attract more millennials to the movie theaters, that AMC would allow texting during movies. Well, nobody liked that idea very much, and AMC quickly backtracked, but is still looking for what they call enhancements to attract more people to the movie theater. What would attract you to the movie theater? What would make you go to the movies more often? Is there something, a behavior perhaps, that's keeping you from going to the movies more often? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So are you a big fan of food in the movie theaters and those reclining chairs? What about the cost of the movie? Does that keep you from going to the movie? What about people chomping popcorn in your ear? Jonathan Pollack is our guest, history instructor at Madison Area Technical College and a pop culture expert. I do love going to the movies. I still go to the movies as much as I can. But the behavior that bothers me the most is that I have reserved my seat and paid my convenience fee, and I'm in my chair, and I'm there before the trailer start because I want to see those two. Not everybody does, I understand that. But it bothers me when, all right, the movie started. We're in the critical first scene. We're setting the stage, and we're trying to see this plot, what's going to happen here. And someone has to make me get up, and they're going to walk in late and go sit in their chair. Yeah. And it's like, why do people do that?
Not everybody shares that need to be there at the start of the film, I think. I certainly feel the same way. I mean, at the times where the parking lot's been unexpectedly crowded or whatever, and we've missed the beginning of a movie, I mean, I've just thought, okay, that's it. This is a complete waste of time now. not everyone feels that way, I guess. I think people use the movies for different things. Certainly on a hot day, I can think of movies that I saw just to have a reason to get out of the heat.
That's true.
If that's what you're going to the movies for is for the air conditioning, which was something that movies marketed when air conditioning was invented, like back in the 20s, that was a big draw. They'd advertise the air conditioning, never mind the quality of the film they're showing that night. At that point, you need a cool place to go, and so if you don't get the 100% of the plot, it's not a big deal.
That's true, especially if it's an action movie or a comic strip movie or something like that.
Yeah, right. It's a movie that's structured like a video game. You can kind of guess what happened in the 5 minutes or whatever you missed. I think that's the reason is that not everyone's using them the same way.
Well, I know that we have a number of people on Facebook who have commented on maybe theater pet peeves is a way to look at it. We had, looking here, someone said that my last few outings to a movie were ruined by the behavior of the younger set with their cell phones. I wish that there was one evening offering for seniors only and no phones allowed. Well, there we go.
There you go. The key there, I think, is to make it a point to see movies that younger people are not likely to see. Films that aren't like you were saying, a comic strip movie or something that's clearly being adapted into a video game, a film with a lot of dialogue, a film a little more slow paced. I would say you're less likely to see people texting at a foreign film than you are at a summer blockbuster. That doesn't let them off the hook. I mean, that's a violation. AMC did not put that policy into effect, and every theater out there has multiple announcements saying it's bogus to have your cell phone on, so don't do it. So, yeah, that's the caller is rightly upset about that.
they have a trailer where, I don't know, like a Barbie doll puts it starts on fire when she uses her cell phone. It's pretty bad. Linda on Facebook says, I would go to the movies more often if I didn't have to stuff Kleenex in my ears so I don't go deaf. Why is the volume so loud?
That's something else my friends and I have talked about, is that as much as there are lots of us who like trailers, and that's kind of fun to look at them and kind of plot out what's the next movie you're going to see. Yeah, they're super loud, especially if it's like a trailer for an action movie. I'm not sure exactly why that is. I mean, I think about it, it's like TV commercials, right? Like commercials used to be much louder than the surrounding stuff, so that if you're watching TV late at night and you're dozing off, the commercial comes on and you wake up and you see the ad. But in a movie theater, you've got a captive audience. You know, they're not going somewhere else. That is really annoying. And I kind of feel the same way, that it's just really, it's aggravating, and you just kind of want to get to the film sooner. It turns you off the trailers. And for me, I see a film like that, I'm like, okay, that's a movie I don't want to see, rather than enticing me. I mean, maybe it's the exhibitors know that people are going to be texting and so forth, and so turning up the volume is a way of getting over that, but it's that is really aggravating.
Saul and Stevens Point emails, short cartoon serials would all be appreciated at movies, especially given the ticket prices. Serials have become popular on millennial radio channels on the internet. What do you think?
Little short features would be kind of good. I know whenever we go see something like Pixar often does this, that there's like a main feature and they have like a little cartoon beforehand that's on a, you know, kind of a different theme, and it's got different little characters in it. And I always feel like I got a little something extra. You know, I feel like, mm-hmm. you know, most movies I go to, you see like, you know, a bunch of previews and then a picture. And then it was a Pixar thing, and there's like this little cartoon that comes up, and it's not an ad, and it's not a trailer, and it's not a trivia quiz thing, but it's just this little cartoon. It's like, oh, I got this extra thing here. I agree with the caller on that one. That's one of the things that some of my friends brought up also, that they would like to see come back, is more a more variety on the menu beyond just the ads and the trailers and the main feature.
Clinton in Appleton emails, I don't visit movies very often because there aren't many motion pictures that I want to experience. I did see Race, about Jackie Robinson, and The Revenant, both based on true stories. Mankind has 5,000 years of recorded history and literature to sample for subjects for motion pictures. Two particular turnoffs that there are far too many trailers being strung together before a motion picture even starts, and the tickets and concessions have gotten too expensive. But I'm interested in, we talked about the expense of movies, but the actual content of the movies, aren't most of the movies, maybe this is just me, aren't most of the movies geared to that younger set, and yet they're not going?
A lot of them are, yeah. This is a joke one of my kids and I have that, and my whole family has with me, that I'm tired of going to movies that are basically video games, where it's clear they're trying to adapt this into a video game. And so there's a conflict, and the characters level up, and there's another conflict, and they level up, and it's like a game. And then I've joked about trying to do that with like a film adaptation of Catcher in the Rye. Like, how would you make Catcher in the Rye into a video game? So that I find kind of annoying also. I think a lot of films are targeted at like the younger end of that generation, that they're targeted at like maybe like an 8-year-old audience or something like that. And that's kind of, there have always been films like that. But I think that's a big part of it, because if you're making a film that's targeted at 8-year-olds, you're probably going to rope in like a parent or two along with that 8-year-old. So then you're increasing tickets, because you've got to have several people go, if you had a film that's targeted more adult audience, that adult's perfectly capable of getting herself to the movies. So I think there are a lot of films for kind of that younger group. Despite the targeting of films to a generation in their teens and 20s, you know, as has been a pretty consistent theme among the people who've written and called in, the price is really high, and relatively few, people in their teens and 20s have the kind of steady income coming in, or indulgent parents that are just like, yeah, here's $20, go watch a movie. So I think that's kind of a contradiction that the film industry and the movie theater industry have to sort out.
Yeah, we had a listener who posted on Facebook, actually Alan in Oshkosh called in to say, I would attend the movies more if they brought drive-in movies back. Interesting. I mean, the drive-in is kind of, going the way of the dodo bird?
Well, it's been that way for a while. I mean, drive-ins were much bigger, like, in the 1950s. And, by the 70s, they really started dying out. In the mid-80s, where I grew up, there were a couple of drive-ins, and there was one drive-in, and then it was gone. There's a couple of them out here. You know, there's that one in Jefferson, and there's that one in Monroe, in this part of the state at least. There are probably others elsewhere in Wisconsin. But I think the ones that have hung on have done so because they're the last holdouts. The people who want that know there's one place to go within a two-hour drive of their house, and people are going to make that journey and go see a drive-in movie.
In our last minute, do you think that movie theaters will always be around, or will they go the way of the drive-in?
No, I think there's always going to be a purpose for them. I mean, they might, they might change in size or scope, or there might be other stuff going on. I think maybe I don't know that I'd invest in building a new multiplex right now, but I think there'll be some consolidation. But I think there's always going to be something. It's always going to fill a need. There are always going to be people who want to go out and see a film in a theater with other people in the dark with a, giant screen and so forth. And so I think they're always going to be with us.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, George.
Jonathan Pollock, history instructor at Madison Area Technical College and our pop culture expert.